Well, our pastors are away this Sunday, and we need to pray for both of them, especially the young folks and their skiing, and there'll be no injuries or anything else. So remember them. Our gospel text for this first Sunday in Lent is the same account of Jesus' life. But depending on the year it comes, there are different gospels. This year we hear the account of Jesus' temptation in the wilderness from the Gospel of Matthew. And so I would ask you to please stand if you could, and we'll share Matthew 4, 1 through 11. In Jesus' name, when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Here ends the reading of the gospel. Father, we thank you again for your precious word, how it guides, directs, and leads us onward and upward unto your glory. So, Father, as we go into your word, Lord, that you'll guide, direct, and lead us. We'll just give you the thanks and the praise for it all as we pray it in your name. Please be seated. There's a saying, all good things come to those who wait. If there's one thing that's easy to preach but difficult to practice, it would be it. Whatever happened to patience? I sometimes think we now live in an instant gratification world. We sort of live in the burger world. You can pick it up and have it and eat it right now. We want it right away. It really doesn't matter what it is or what we pick up. We want it the way we like it. We want it right now. Internet service or restaurant service or entertainment, advancement, success, even church. We want it and we want it now. Right away. With the new cell phones, we can talk anywhere and everywhere. The conversation just can't wait. We want it right now. Meals used to be enjoyed by the whole family in the evening, sitting down together and eating. Now, one of them is gone here, another one gone there. Maybe the father hasn't gotten home yet. The mother has a meeting someplace. Everybody's out and everybody's in a hurry. The family seems to be constantly on the go. Nobody has time to get together and spend much time together. Nobody has time to converse much anymore either. I remember when I was growing up on the farm, the neighbors, they would drive by and they'd stop in and visit and have coffee. And they seemed to visit and enjoy one another all the time. But this day and age, everybody's in a hurry. We want to get there and get things done. Now, we have been blessed with a great many things in this electronic age we live in. But one thing we don't have and one thing we seem to have lost in a very short amount of time is patience. And looking at our gospel lesson this morning, we get a glimpse of the devil in action, trying to tempt Jesus after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. Now, it's interesting how the devil goes about his business. Now, he didn't come at Christ with blazing pitchforks and threats. Instead, he sort of approaches him in a sort of a salesman manner. He says, if you're the Son of God, can you prove it? Turn these stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, prove it and throw yourself from the top of this temple. In other words, he took him up to the top of the temple and he said, if you're God, throw yourself down. The angels and all will be right there to protect you. You won't even strike your foot against a stone. So, after all, God will command his angels to be with you in everything you do. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Now, sandwiched in between these two dares, he also tries to use this slick salesman approach. With Jesus offering him all the kingdoms of the world if he'll bow down and worship him. If he'll just put his faith and trust in Satan, if it's only for a moment or two, just bow down and worship me. And all these things will be yours. He took him on the top of the temple. And he says, you just bow down, worship me, and all these things out here, they'll all be yours. They'll all be yours. You notice what the devil is doing here in all these three temptations, where he said he came from 40 days in the desert. He was hungry. He says, I'll turn these stones into bread. You'll have all the bread you want. Then he took them on the top of the temple. Just jump off here. And your angels and everyone will protect you. You won't get hurt. So he uses all these different things to tempt Jesus. He's trying to get Jesus to step outside his father's plan. Instead, by just having gratification. If you really want to, you can make that hunger go away right now. Aren't you tired of being a lowly nobody? Isn't all this going to be yours anyway? Why wait? Bow down and worship me, and you won't have to wait. You can have it all right now. The devil says, I'll give it to you. The glory can be yours right now. It's that simple. You know, I've been doing some thinking too. If your father really loved you, why did he send you out in that desert for 40 days? Now, I've traveled through that country, and I've been out in that same desert area where Jesus was walking. And there's some desert plants out there. There's an odd spring maybe here and there for water, but that's about all that's out there. And he was out there for 40 days. But the Lord was watching out for him. That's the difference. The Lord was there watching out for him. We understand that the devil's temptations are evil, but to frame these temptations into the context that instant gratification creates a bit of tension. This is something sometimes we do. What if Jesus had sought out a little immediate relief? What if Jesus partook in a little instant gratification? Is that really a bad thing? Supposing Jesus had accepted some of these things that the devil gave him, would that have been so bad? If you remember what is said, partaking in the instant gratification the devil was offering was actually stepping outside of God's plan. It should come as no surprise that when the devil quoted God's own word in an attempt to convince Jesus that his way was perfectly acceptable, he did leave out one important thing. God will command his angels concerning you to guide you in all your ways. That last little bit about all your ways is the part that the devil conveniently left out. To tell a half-truth is not to tell the whole truth. A half-truth is nothing more than a lie. Now I'll ask you, what is the way of the faithful child of God? And it's God's way. The way of the faithful child of God is the way that follows God and his word and his will, even when his way hurts, even when his way goes against our ways and our wants and our desires. It is the way of faith that trusts in God above all things, even when things seem the darkest and the worst. Remember, God's desired plan of salvation is ultimately recognized in the empty tomb on Easter morning. But you can't get that empty tomb without first going to that blood-soaked cross. Now, when Jesus was in that garden praying the night before, the Lord could have immediately taken him up. But he didn't. First, he had let him be arrested, beaten, and put on a cross, nailed to a cross, and there he shed his blood. And then he went to the tomb, and then he came out of that tomb. But, you see, the Lord let him go through all of that. He could have taken him up immediately out of the garden when he was praying. You see, the way of salvation is the way of the cross. You see, this is what makes this text so important for this first Sunday in Lent. This first Sunday in our spiritual exodus back to Christ's passion. Believe it or not, this text is not about the temptations in and of themselves. This text isn't about a methodology that you too can replicate in your life when the devil starts to tempt you. Just do what Jesus did. I know that this is how this text is often treated, but that's not what the text is about. You have to think about it. If Jesus Christ, as presented in this gospel lesson, was simply some sort of a poster boy of how to fight the devil and overcome evil, instead of being our perfect and all-fulfilling fight against the devil and overcome evil, instead of being our perfect and all-fulfilling substitute, we would be placed in the very ugly situation of not having to perform up to Christ's perfect level every time we battle sin, temptation, and the devil. As we look at the country of Syria today, and we see all these Christians over there at this present time under ISIS, there's been over 7,000 Christians and others that ISIS has killed and destroyed over there already in that country. Were those Christians, they were probably confronted, "Will you give up Jesus Christ and follow us?" And they said, "No, we will not." They went to their death, men, women, and children. That is the year 2015, 16, and 17. Today, that's what's going on. They'll stand with their Lord and God, their Heavenly Father. It is precisely because of the Christ alone reality of our atonement that this particular gospel account has traditionally been the appointed lesson for this first Sunday in Lent. Since the days of our early church fathers, this has been the lesson. These passages have helped God's people down through the ages as they began that long Lenten march towards Calvary to refocus their attention on Jesus Christ and all that he gave up for us. To focus on the fact that he came down from heaven for the express purpose of being our perfect and complete substitute in every manner, including something as seemingly simple as trusting in God above all things, something which we all fail at, sometimes rather miserably. Jesus didn't take any shortcuts, quick fixes. That life offers us, and that we so often look for. No, Jesus humbled himself in perfect, faithful obedience to the Father's word. His Father's word, his Father's will, and his Father's way. Even when he knew what had awaited him going to that cross. Now, going to that cross, and as we think about that today, there's no quick fix about it. Now, I'll close today with the wonderful gospel truth that proclaims that Jesus Christ did it all for you precisely because you and I couldn't do it for ourselves. I close with the blunt but not necessary truth that there's no shortcuts around pain, suffering, or temptation when you're a Christian living in this world today. There's no other way to salvation than through God's way. And that way, like it or not, still includes the cross. The cross we must bear. The cross we are to take up daily in faith as we follow Christ, as we say, on the narrow way. Sometimes it's a rather tough pill to swallow. In faith, we will have crosses to bear. And may our Lord grant you a confident, patient faith all of the days of your life. And may you find true comfort and peace in the fact that the good things God has promised for us and has in store for us, those unbelievably good and heavenly things Christ won and died for us on the cross, so that we will not have to go to that cross ourselves and go through some of the things that he went through. He took it for us. He took it all for us. And it's seemingly all wrapped up in these few things. It's faith alone, in God's grace alone, because of Jesus Christ alone. Faith alone and God's grace alone because of Jesus Christ alone. That's it. It doesn't get any simpler or any better than that. That's it. And may each of us always remember that. It's faith alone and God's grace alone because of Jesus Christ alone. Amen. Father, we thank you again for this time that we can gather together and share your word together. And Lord, that each day may your word and you touch our hearts and our lives as we sometimes go through the different struggles of this life, whether it's illness or death or pain. Lord, that you'll always be there for us. Father, I pray that you Bless your people, go with them, guide and watch over them. And we'll just pray it all and ask it all in your precious name. Amen.